Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast on Almighty Baller Radio.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
Recording on a Wednesday.
It's Wednesday? I thought it was Friday.
What a week it has been for the Mavericks. Kind of an up and down week. I mean,
down, but there could be some up and good to that.
The Mavericks have officially been eliminated from playoff contention.
Team Tank, I think we're all on it now.
Team Tank, you have your day.
Team Tank wins.
The team
which means
Team Tank won out.
Which means, even though I was organically right.
See, but you hedged your bet in the middle of the season.
That's why I said organically.
I
was alternatively right.
You were off Team Tank for a little bit, and then you were on Team Playoffs. And so you can't, like, be gloating now because you were on Team Playoffs.
Well, like, no, I said, I was organically right.
Sure. Fine. And you were also organically wrong.
Quiet on the set.
So the tanking started out with literally the most tankable tankathon of a tanking situation that could have ever happened. The game last night, it was a late one, so if you didn't stay up, we understand. Taman didn't.
Well, I was up, but I see the Rangers were playing, and
you've already moved on.
Not exactly.
You've moved on.
I just like baseball, and, you know, Monday was opening day, and the Rangers lost a heartbreaker, and then the championship came on.
How about that Joey Gallo homer last night? I did see that. Man, he jacked that one.
Yeah, Joey Gallo, I feel, will be he's going to be two things. He's going to be a great home run hitter, and he's going to strike out a lot.
He's going to be Adam Dunn.
Pretty much.
That's what he's going to be.
That's a very good comparison.
Being from Cincinnati and seeing Adam Dunn, like, lead the league in home runs and strikeouts at the same time.
Right. Adam Dunn pretty much everything.
I completely understand. So last night for the Mavericks, though, they started a lineup which Ben and Skin said could have been a D-League lineup, which is totally true. And when I tweeted out this lineup earlier today, Max Rappaport, who was on our show earlier this season, tweeted it and said, this is a 2K roster that is like you have simulated 6 years in advance. Like, this is just a roster
pretty much
that you didn't expect. So Taman, since you did not watch the game last night, can you tell me the five players that started for the Dallas D-League Mavericks team?
Well, I'm going to go with A.J. Hammond.
Nope.
Wow, A.J. Hammond did not start.
He did not get the start. He did play. He got some pretty good run last night.
Okay.
Finally.
Dorian Finney-Smith.
He did not start. I was surprised.
Wow. Dwight Powell.
Dwight Powell did start.
Okay, Dwight Powell did start. Okay.
Oh, I miss our trivia music.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
We're in a different studio.
Yes, we are. Nicholas Brucini?
Brucino.
Sorry. I said Brucini.
I thought you were giving him a nickname, and I was like, no, he said the wrong
Brucini.
Name. Brucini. Brucinino did start.
Okay, so we got...
So you got Powell, Brucino.
Did Salim Medry start?
No.
Hey, you know, I had to throw that out there.
Come on, you're missing like two obvious ones.
I'm missing two obvious ones. I'm thinking I have our power forward. I have our point guard.
No, you don't. Nico and Dwight Powell.
Yeah.
This is thrilling radio right now.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
If this is our first episode on Dash, hello to everyone on Dash.
Yeah, how you doing? did Yogi Ferrell start?
Yogi Ferrell did start. You got three. You got two left.
Yogi Ferrell started. And
I'll give you a hint. He just came. He's the most recent Maverick.
Oh, actually,
that's not true. Most recent traded Maverick.
Yeah. The most recent traded Maverick?
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens Noel did start last night.
Yes.
And the last one.
And
Sneaky one. Yeah. And you're going to hit yourself in the face when you hear it.
Who?
Harrison Barnes did actually start last night.
Wow.
Harrison Barnes finally did actually start last night.
That's an interesting... Well, at least Barnes is not a D-League player.
He did not have a great game. He scored...
He played like a D-League player.
Yeah, he did not play well last night. So yeah, the starting lineup had an average age of 24 years and 112 days.
You know what I just got out of
which
all
is,
of that?
Which is younger than both of us.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's younger than me.
By the way,
that kind of scares me.
How old do you think Nicholas Persino is?
20?
Nicholas Persino is 24 years old.
Wow.
Does that change your opinion of Nicholas Persino at all?
No.
What is your opinion of Nicholas Persino?
He's a young.
You don't have an opinion. How yeah, can you I don't not really have an opinion on one of the Mavericks them. Players?
Well, because you know I like to think about more of the impact players, and he's not much of an impact player.
You're too big picture for this.
I am a big picture guy.
Persino last night had 13 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in 33 minutes. Led the Mavericks in scoring with 13 points.
Well, how many points did the Mavericks have?
87. This was literally the tank of all tanks. Okay. I don't think you can name more than 5 Kings players that played last night. Am I right?
Yes.
This is their
played?
This is their starting lineup. Buddy.
Okay.
Langston Galloway. Tyreke Evans, who, newsflash, is back on the Kings now because of the Boogie trade.
He was so dirty his like first year
25
on the Kings.
And 5 was his – he was averaging
yeah, he was a very
Kings.
Good player.
So Buddy, Langston, Tyreke, then Scal, Labissiere from Kentucky.
Yeah.
And Willie Cauley-Stein, also from Kentucky. So, and then Georges Papagiannis had a good run. He killed the Mavs on the boards and –
So between the Mavs and the Kings, they could have played on North Carolina and Gonzaga the other night.
They might have lost. Ben McLemore.
I know, they wouldn't have lost. Trust me.
And Garrett Temple. Yeah, that NCAA championship game, let's just not talk about that.
Yeah, we're not.
That was a disgrace to basketball.
It really was. That was worse than watching the Knicks.
Harrison Barnes played 28 minutes. He had 11 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He was plus 3, though. He was the only Mavericks player to be plus and plus minus.
I guess you got to be plus in something when you have that bad of a game.
That's not true. Usually you should be.
I'm just saying.
So the last time the Mavericks had a younger starting 5 than the one that they had last night was in 1995. Taman R. Turner. I've already quizzed you twice, but can you name anyone on this starting 5?
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd was on the line. Jamal Mashburn was on the
line. Jim Jackson.
No, he was not.
Jim Jackson was not on that
team? I don't know if he was on the team, but he wasn't in that starting 5.
Okay, he wasn't in that starting lineup. Gotcha.
There's one more I think you can get. I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
And I'm opening my eyes really wide and just like staring like this.
That's the hint?
That's the hint.
I don't know.
He's named after a famous cartoon character. Everyone at home, tweet us if you think Taman should have got it by now.
I'm really bad at guessing games.
That's true. You really are.
I'm so bad at guessing games. And then when you're going to say it, I'm going to be like, wow.
Popeye Jones.
Oh, well, there you go.
With the wide eye, like.
Yeah, okay.
Popeye Jones, that team had an average, that starting lineup had an average age of 23 years, 323 days. So only like 100 days off of this one. Also, on the bench for that team is a current coach in the NBA. Do you know who that coach is?
Can I have a hint?
Yeah, he was a coach in the Western Conference and is now a coach in the Eastern Conference.
Western Conference and then now a coach in the Eastern Conference.
And his team is in the playoffs right now.
He
was on the bench on that team for the Mavericks in 1995.
He was on the bench.
He was a guard.
On the,
of course, there isn't any.
Let me think.
Thrilling radio. Tweet us if you guys tweet all these in time if you guys are listening to this.
Nick's
and let us know.
Giving me guessing games, which that's not my specialty. Who is it?
Scott Brooks.
Oh.
Scott Brooks played for the Mavericks. I did not know that. I had to go back and look.
You know what? I remember them mentioning that in 2011.
Yeah.
During the
Western Conference
Finals. Yeah. They did mention that, but I didn't think about that till now. But,
so this is the youth movement, and this is what the lineup could have looked like.
This is what you want.
This is what you wanted all season.
I was going to say, this is what you did not want all
this
season.
Is what I did not want. Selfishly, a little bit, because I'm covering all these games, I'm going to all these games, I did not want to watch, 1,000 minutes of, Dwight Powell, Nico Brusino.
And listen, I get that. I get that. And I didn't want that to be a starting lineup either. That would just bore the heck out of me.
You just wouldn't be able to watch. It'd be right, so unwatchable. It'd be
really,
the Nets.
Yeah, it'd be really bad. But I mean.
Which the Nets are a little, they're kind of frisky right now.
But. Yeah, it'd be really bad. But I wanted them to lose, but I just didn't want. That's just unbearable.
You didn't want
basketball.
This. You
yeah,
didn't
that's
want
just
this.
Not even fun.
This is not what you intended, but yeah. This is what tanking is. You get to this point where your lineup, your team just looks unrecognizable. You're like, I don't know who any of these guys are.
Well, I mean, if you go back to when the season started, when the Mavericks just started off bad because everyone was hurt.
3-13, 4-17 start.
I mean, you can understand why people were like, it's a loss. Nobody thought that the Mavericks roster would look totally different. Nobody thought that that the Mavericks were going to start off that bad, even with the injuries. So it was kind of like, well, it's a lost season.
A lot of people were saying playoffs at the beginning of the season.
I was one of them.
me too. I thought this team was a playoff team.
And what's sad is, when we did that round table at the beginning of the year, I thought the Mavericks were a 6 seed. Boy, was I wrong.
Man. A 6 seed right now in the Western Conference is, I think, the Thunder right now, right?
Yes.
The Thunder are the 6th seed.
The OKC Thunder.
And they are 44-33. So, that's pretty high. After that is the Grizzlies at 42-36. That's probably more obtainable for this team, you'd think.
Yeah.
And then the Nuggets, the Blazers after that are 38-40. That definitely could have been the Mavericks. If they didn't get that bad of a start.
Hadn't have gotten that bad of a start, yeah, they'd be a playoff team.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I do agree there. Go ahead.
So now the Mavericks, are going to get, either the 8th, 9th, or 10th, lottery spot. If you go to tankathon.com.
They're at the 9th right now, aren't they?
I think, yeah, they're at the 9th. If you go there and hit the lottery simulator, I did it the other day 30 times. The Mavericks they moved once from 9th. So
9th to what?
To 3rd.
Oh, okay.
And
I just want to see how far they went up.
It'd be really hard for them to move down from there because that means a team below them, which is, the New Orleans pick, which is going to Sacramento, Detroit, Charlotte, Miami, or Denver. That means one of those teams has to jump above them at some point. And they really can only get to the top three. Like, the way the lottery works, you can't, like, Denver can't jump up to 5.
Right.
That just doesn't, it just doesn't work out that way.
You're right. Let me ask you this. What has been your most positive light of the Mavericks this year? Just something maybe you didn't expect?
The whole season?
Yeah, just something you didn't really expect, but you're very pleased on what you've seen.
I definitely expected this, personally, but a lot of Mavericks fans didn't. It's Harrison Barnes.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you there.
To see the Harrison, because after the finals and after that, that offseason, everyone's just looking at Harrison Barnes like, this guy isn't worth a max contract. Like, there's no way they're getting this fourth piece that, they're going to try to make him our number one option. Like, and now you're seeing that, and we've been seeing it all season, that he could be a viable,
right,
like second or third option on a team.
Let me ask you this about Barnes. Is this his ceiling?
I don't think so. He's 24 years old. I think he knows what he needs to do to get better. He's with Rick Carlisle now. I mean, you have to think, on that Warriors team, he's getting some attention by development coaches and stuff, but they're probably spending most of their time with their big guys, like their main guys.
Right.
They have – there's 4 guys on that team that were better than Harrison Barnes,
No disrespect to Barnes. It's just you got to give, Steph and Clay and Draymond credit.
And Iguodala. I think Iguodala was better than him when he was on that team, too.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah,
and so most of the attention is going to those guys, and that's even in practice. That's even in the front office. That's in development coaches. You got, Shed's going to be working with him. You got, the rest of the Mavericks. They're invested in him. They're completely invested in Harrison Barnes. He's willing to put the work in, and I think he has a couple things he needs to get better at. Definitely passing. He is.
Yeah.
His ISO game is just, it kills the Mavs offense sometimes.
Right.
And as many times as he can come away with a good shot, he's just not getting the Mavs a better. A better shot that they could get,
The positive light, because I agree with literally everything you just said.
Yeah, we're in total agreement about Barnes.
The biggest thing I was pleased with this year that I didn't really expect, I was kind of hoping for it, but he definitely lived up to my he exceeded expectation, was Seth Curry. I love Curry this year. Curry was awesome. He was literally phenomenal. And there was a stretch in, February and March. Where during that stretch, obviously I'm not saying, throughout the whole season, but during that
really
stretch,
good.
He was the best player on the team during that stretch.
Yeah.
He was phenomenal. He was literally willing the Mavericks to victory.
Yeah, and isn't it weird that a lot of Mavs fans were more hopeful about Seth Curry than they were about Harrison Barnes?
Yeah, I think
a lot of it
Steph
has
effect.
To do with money. you know, in salary.
Right. I also think that was the Steph effect, too. I think there were a lot of fans who were like, oh, Seth is Steph's brother. This guy had some promise on the Kings. I mean, he's got a shot. Let's see what he can do, you know? And Steph's been so popular over the course of the last 2 or 3 years that I think that kind of rubbed off on fans' viewpoint on Seth.
And he looks so much like him. Not just physically, but his game looks like
him.
Yeah,
that's true.
He hits shots. I mean, he hits for three. That stretch you're talking about was a week. The last week in February, the first week in March, was 8-game stretch. He was averaging 34 minutes a game, 22 points per game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting 57% from the field, 55% from 3, 95% from the free throw line.
Right. That's
Man,
awesome.
Man, that is – I mean, that is – and then the Mavericks were 6-2 in that stretch.
Oh.
That was – I mean, that was
– he at during that stretch, he was the best player on the team.
You're going to look back at that stretch and say that's the best stretch of basketball the Mavericks probably played this year, and Seth Curry was a big part of it.
Yeah, let's – I mean, another one, obviously nobody expected this was Yogi.
Nobody.
I mean, nobody. Literally nobody. I don't even think Yogi – you think Yogi expected it? I don't even think he expected it.
As an NBA player, I think you have to have some sort of confidence in
yourself.
Oh,
sure. So I think the confidence
maybe
is there.
Maybe the 30-point game, I don't think. But,
yeah, right?
Or starting right away, right when he came right in. But
I mean, yeah, you got to have that confidence just as an athlete. But it was just like, man, this is surreal right now. He made it.
And winning Rookie of the Month, I mean, that was huge.
Right? I mean, there was positives for the Mavs this year. There were negatives, too. Let's be honest with them.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely. We're just trying to be positive right now because we know it's done. Like the season
right,
is
the season
done.
Is over.
You know, like they're...
Yeah, but you have to we can acknowledge the positives, but we have to look at the negatives so we know what the Mavs can improve on for next season.
Exactly.
And you know, obviously we talk about the draft. Do you think the Mavericks have been very aggressive, or they've attempted to be aggressive? I'm not going to say they've succeeded, but they've attempted to be aggressive in free agency literally every single year since the championship.
Yeah.
Is this the one year they don't do it?
You have to think so because Mark Cuban said that they wouldn't.
Right.
Mark Cuban literally came out and said that they're not going to go out for the big fish this year.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think they're going to have cap space for it. You know, they're going to have to re-sign Nerlens Noel. Noel is probably going to be your big addition.
Yeah.
Which
I mean,
you got him for the last 20 or so games of the season.
Right.
And Harrison Martin's still going to be there. And there's a couple other guys.
Did the Mavericks make a weird trade at some spot or?
No, because you got a pretty good young core.
Yeah,
who would you say is the Mavericks' core that you're like, this is what we can build around? Like these players should be
clearly Barnes, clearly Noel.
Right.
I mean, I would say the another addition to that duo, I would probably say would be Seth. But
he's guaranteed on the roster next year.
Right. So I mean that would
for
be
$3 million.
That's awesome.
that's
literally
insane.
Awesome.
Man,
Matthew Dellavedova makes
Harrison
more
Barnes
money.
He's going to make $20 more million than Seth Curry.
Matthew Dellavedova on the Bucks makes more money than Seth Curry. Think about that.
That's insane. I talk about Alan Crabb every single time because I think his contract is ridiculous. He makes $18 million a year. He's
going to
make
$15 more million
than Seth Curry.
Wow,
it's insane. So you're putting Seth in there?
Yeah, I'll put him in there. That would be my building pieces.
I think another big thing you're going to look at is possibly an extension for Seth Curry this summer.
I can see that. I don't. Yeah,
I'm not exactly
that.
Sure.
Why are we agreeing on everything?
Well, it's hopeful things. Like we're looking into the future, and,
right?
And your team tank situation was all about looking to the future. My playoffs was looking sort of for now and a little bit to the future because of different reasons.
Right.
Yours was acquiring assets. Mine was just keeping the culture and the chemistry of the team. Do you think the team has maintained their culture?
Yes, I do. I think that the fact that Dirk is obviously still there, that Carlisle, I think, is still one of the most respected coaches in the NBA. I think the fact that even though they didn't make the playoffs, I think that a lot of people have realized that the Mavericks are kind of in a rebuild mode. It's not like your typical rebuild where, we go all on team tank like the Mavericks did last night.
Yeah.
But it's clearly a rebuild, and they're getting younger, and they have talent. It's not like the Mavericks lost some games this year, but I don't think anybody looks at the Mavericks and say they're totally a bad team. They're just a young team that has some growing up to do.
Another thing that surprised me about this season is Dorian Finney-Smith. I mean, literally came out of nowhere.
He came out of nowhere.
Was on the Summer League roster, and shout out to my friend Josh Stack on the Seeing Stars podcast.
By the way, Josh Stack is downstairs right now.
Is he really?
Unless he just left like 10 or 15 minutes ago.
Oh, that's funny. So shout out to him. He was the one that pointed him out to me. He's like, hey, watch out in summer league for Dorian Finney-Smith. And I was like, okay, sure. Some, you know, forward from Florida or whatever.
He's just like some guy.
And then he ends up on the roster. And we were all really surprised because we thought that spot was going to go to Jonathan Gibson.
Yeah.
Remember at the beginning of the season, they thought that Jonathan Gibson was going to be on the roster.
Right.
And then he ended up being on the roster because Quincy Acey came, you know, they had to get him out of there and to get room.
Quincy Acey. I literally forgot he was on the Mavs.
Because they just didn't have any spots left. But Dorian Finney-Smith's been a big surprise. I think if he gets if he works on his jumper all offseason, his defense is good enough that he is, you know, kept a spot on this team for as long as his rookie contract is. And that's part of your core. I mean, you have a guy that, you know, is a guaranteed something. You know, once you get into the second round,
he could be something, but he could also be replaceable too. That's the thing.
No, sure, but when you have a team that's limited in talent, you have a piece that's like right. Oh,
what I mean by replaceable is if the Mavericks can get a better player. By the way, Josh Dak just liked my photo on Instagram.
Yeah, that's funny.
Literally, as we're talking,
so he
about
probably
him.
Is working.
Yeah, maybe so. but no, back to it. I mean. When I mean replaceable, obviously if the Mavericks can find somebody better, obviously you take that route. But yeah, he's been a good player for the Mavericks this season.
He has, and I think he's earned a spot on the roster for the rest of the season, or not rest of the season, the rest of his contract. And so you look at between Yogi, Dorian, Seth, Nerlens, Harrison Barnes. Would you put? I mean, you wouldn't put Brissino in there. You wouldn't put Hammonds in there. That's pretty much. You wouldn't put Jared Utoff in there. Sorry,
no,
sorry, Jared.
Let me ask you this.
Dwight Powell? What do you think about Dwight Powell?
I like Dwight Powell. Why are you looking at me like that?
He's signed for the next couple years, $8 million this year, $9 million next year, $9.5 million the year after that, $10 million.
Yeah, I mean, and funny thing is, like, right now in the NBA, that's not a lot of money.
It's not.
I mean, I'll take it.
Alan Crabb makes double what Dwight Powell.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. What's been your most disappointed our factor with the Mavs this year? What were you disappointed with most?
I was very disappointed when Dirk got injured. You know, like that was just a point in time where you're just with the Achilles and all that, where you just really thought that there's big question that he wouldn't play again. You know,
yeah,
like
that was scary.
That's something you're like disappointed, like, I just wish that wouldn't have happened. I wish, you know, and we're saying if Dirk didn't get injured, then this team could probably be in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, I mean,
which
that's
pretty crazy.
Yeah, I guess that's disappointing. I mean, it's kind of uncontrollable, but I guess that's true.
The way Wes has played the last, you know, few weeks,
he's
or
hurt.
So
he's hurt.
Has been disappointing. I hope that he comes back, but then it's just are we always?
He's got to be hurt.
He is. Mark Cuban said so himself. Is this going to be a thing with Wesley Matthews? Where we're always like, oh, how's he going to come back from this injury? How's he going to come back from this injury?
I don't think he's Parsons. Because that was Chandler Parsons' biggest issue, too, is can he come back from an injury? Can he stay on the court?
Yeah.
I don't think Wes is at that, because the thing is, I guess the difference is between Wes and Chandler is that Wes competes and he competes hard. He plays literally his heart out, where a lot of people kind of question that with Chandler Parsons.
He's not Chandler Parsons.
No, he's not. Sure. Not at all.
It's not going to be that bad, but it's still like if he's going to keep getting injured, it's going to be a question. Like, how is he going to be able to come back? And he's had a decent stretch the last, you know, few games, couple 15-point games, shooting a little bit better, 30% from three. Which is not great, but it's better than he was shooting like 16% for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
He just had some really bad nights.
It wasn't the most wonderful time of the year for him.
Have you been disappointed with? I feel like the Mavs bench is really good. Is that weird? I feel like their starters aren't that great, but you got a bench of JJ and Devin. You also have Dorian Finney-Smith coming off the bench, Powell coming off the bench, Mejri coming off the bench. Usually, you have, you know, Yogi coming off the bench.
I don't think it's an awful bench, but it can definitely improve.
I mean, every part of this roster can improve. There's literally, is there one spot in this roster you think couldn't improve?
I see your point.
Literally every part of it.
Yeah.
I think could improve.
I see your point.
So, but I think that the bench is okay. I mean, it's not the weakness of your team. I think the weakness of your team is, you know, the starters probably. And the offense. The offense is probably the biggest thing I've been disappointed in. Because you look at this team and you look at the starting lineup, you go, okay, you got Seth Curry if Seth Curry is going to average 20 points in some stretch during this season, and if he's going to shoot 46% from three, Wes Matthews, Harrison Barnes is going to average 20 points. Dirk Nowitzki is going to be there and healthy playing five. And you have either Nerlens Noel or you have Yogi, who's also going to play pretty well. And that team's going to be the last in offensive rating in the entire NBA. Like, that just doesn't seem like it could compute, especially with, and you have teams like Utah, who's going to be, you know, not that great of an offense. You have like teams like the Nets and the Sixers and, you know, the Lakers, who are just, you know, trying to be bad, where the Mavericks aren't trying to be bad. That's very disappointing. And I'm not sure if that's a coaching thing or if that's just personnel.
I think it's personnel.
I think it's personnel. And I think that that's, you know, the pace of this team is second to last in the NBA right now.
So, no, I mean, yeah, I think that's, I mean, the Mavericks this season at times seem to have untimely turnovers, and untimely turnovers on any team can affect your offense.
Yeah,
and that
can affect your defense too. But this defense is like top 15, which is so weird.
Yeah, the Mavericks are a weird team. They've been weird all year. Didn't Rick Carlisle say they're a weird team?
He said we're an underrated team.
Yeah, we're
we're a crap team, but we're an underrated crap team.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. That there were times where the Mavericks looked like a playoff team, and then there were nights where they looked like a lottery team. The biggest example of that was what, last month? They go to Washington and beat the Wizards in Washington, look like a playoff team, and then get annihilated by the Sixers. It's like
that is a great microcosm of the entire season.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Mavericks.
By the way, I misspoke. The Mavericks are 24th out of 30 in offensive rating. They're not last. They've been last pretty much the whole season, and they're also 14th in defensive rating.
Right.
So that disparity. If they're 15, if they rise up nine spots in offensive rating, they're a playoff team. That's a championship contending team, which is crazy to say because their record obviously doesn't say that. But that's a big thing. They're gonna have to improve their offense, which is a thing I did not think I was going to say at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Because you looked at what's the biggest need for this team at the beginning of the season, you're like, oh, it's probably a, you know, defensive center that can then move probably, because you have to assume Andrew Bogut's not going to stay for another year.
So let me ask you this. I mean,
figure the offense would be fine.
How much better does...
And your guards were bad at defense. You got...
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, you had Darren Williams, you had Seth Curry, you had...
Yeah, I mean, but let me ask you this, though, back on offense. I mean, I asked you earlier, was this Harrison Barnes' ceiling? When we talk about his offensive production, can he be a 22 to 26 point per game scorer?
This happens to a lot of players. I saw this happen to Kevin Durant, and I don't think Harrison Barnes can be as good as Kevin Durant.
Not at all.
But you see this with a lot of players. I think this also happened with Harden, and I think it's going to happen to Westbrook, but... It may have already happened. I don't know. Where they figure out that they can be good themselves. You know, like, I'm good. I'm a good player. Like, I can score. I can score 20 points. I can, you know, do this. I can score whenever I want to. And then you have to figure out, go to the next step, look a little deeper into it, and think, how can I make the rest of my team better? How can I, you know?
Well, I agree and disagree.
Does my team need in this moment? Not necessarily, like, it's not always what. You know, how can I get buckets?
Well,
you know,
I mean, I agree and disagree with that, though. Because I agree with the fact that, yeah, you have to implement your teammates.
Yeah.
That's number one. But I disagree with the sense that, I mean, Westbrook and Harden definitely, without a doubt, no questions asked, make their team better. Yeah, their style of play is
yeah, they do it now. I'm just saying that.
I mean, but even before, I think they have. I think they've always made their team better.
I don't think Harden's always made his team better. He's definitely doing it now.
I think that there were a lot of issues. I mean, Houston made the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago.
Yeah, and he was making his team better then.
And they don't do that with a heart. I think last year there was a distraction problem, and that distraction problem now plays in Atlanta. They also had some coaching issues. I think we have to look into that, and that plays a part into your team as well. I don't think it was just Harden being Harden. I think that there was a lot of issues. I think another of it too. I mean, you can blame this on Harden. I think the whole Kardashian thing that he had last year. I think there was just a bunch of distractions that affected Houston as a team. But I don't think that. I mean, if Harden hadn't been on that team last year, as bad as they were, they would have been worse without him. So I definitely think that guys like Harden, the guys, especially Westbrook. I'm saying this right now because I'm looking at his team this season.
Yeah.
They make their teams better, without a doubt. And let's say last year—
But making their teammates better is maybe a little different than making their team
better. Well, like, even last year on OKC, right?
Yeah.
If you know, let's put Durant back on the Thunder. If Westbrook—
Westbrook's not making Durant better.
Well, I'm saying this, though. If Westbrook is not on that Thunder team, they don't make the Western Conference Finals. It's not even close.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, they wouldn't have beaten San Antonio. Not even close.
I'm just saying your development as a player, you look differently. You gain your confidence as an individual player, and then you realize, oh, I have to affect the rest of this team. So you look at Harden, that first year, they went 45-37, which is a good record, great record for them. You know, getting a James Harden-type player where you didn't know how good he could be. He averaged about almost 26 points and 5.8 assists, which is great. I mean, that's way better than what Harrison Barnes is doing right now. That was his first season as, like, the guy on the team. And then now he's leading the league in assists. I mean, that guy completely learned, like, oh, I have to, you know, distribute. I have to set up my guys.
I know you're going to disagree, but I think it's system, too.
Yeah, part of that is system. I mean, his numbers are going to be inflated because of D'Antoni, but I'm just saying as a mindset and as a Harrison Barnes is now the number one option. So when James Harden became the number one option, he first figured out how to play himself, and now he has to – then he
– Well, I mean, I guess
– has learned how to make his teammates better.
I guess the only reason why I'm not in complete agreement with that is because I think back to Allen Iverson. And a lot of people thought that Allen Iverson was selfish and he didn't make his teammates better and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I 100% disagree with that. You know, with that
I'm not saying that this happens to all players. I'm just saying we've seen it happen a couple times.
With who?
Harden and
Harden and Durant or Harden and Westbrook?
Durant. Where Durant, like, I mean, he was scoring a lot of points, but his team was awful when they first got there. Then,
well, yeah, but they weren't. They were young and they had to learn a lot of things. It wasn't just,
yeah, and he learned what was best for his team and when to pick his spots.
Well,
and
I mean,
scoring,
but yeah,
you know?
But he was also a young player, not in his prime. He was good.
He also didn't come out of the gate like LeBron, where he was distributing like a lot. You know, yeah, that was his main part of his game.
I mean, yeah, I mean, when some of these really
like
young guys, I mean, it's really Barnes. Funny how Westbrook, Harden, and Durant used to play with each other.
It's insane. Yeah. That we're talking about this because that's, I mean, if Durant had played the rest of the season, he's probably third in MVP.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean,
probably
yeah.
maybe fourth after LeBron, but
oh, Kawhi, don't forget Kawhi. He might.
I still think
five.
He's above Kawhi. His team's. I mean, he's
Kawhi is a beast on the defensive and offensive end, and they're what, three games behind the Warriors.
It's media voting, and I think media would have gone with Durant over Kawhi.
I know they always go with pretty instead of what's actually happening. But
do you think Durant's more attractive than Kawhi? Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, definitely. No, but I mean.
Okay, maybe those aren't the best examples, but this is...
The thing is, again, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I guess I'm not saying you're right either. I'm in like a...
You're just like defending Westbrook, like even while
not necessarily just that. I mean, I'm even defending Harden because I mean, I think Harden may... I mean, I know, I think we always think back to last year on how Houston was bad and whatnot,
yeah.
But we forget the year before that where they were a series away from the finals.
That's when I think he learned how to set up his team, his teammates. And
his team got better too, though.
Sure, yeah. But also, some of that is because his teammates got better. He got Dwight Howard. He got, you know, other guys on his team. But some of that is also because he got better as a player.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. You
learned how to lead a team.
There's always room to grow as a player. I mean, if you look at Dirk, in the 2011 finals, first to 2006 finals. 2006 finals, he was really good.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt in 2011 he was better. He used his teammates. He got his teammates more involved. He was able to, you know, get to the basket a lot more. He got criticized in 06 a lot because he shot a lot. There's always room for growth, no doubt. But I think also – and again, I'm in a conundrum here because I don't disagree with you. But
yeah.
I don't.
It's a weird thing to disagree with me on.
Yeah, I don't think I'm in a complete agreement, like either.
So, but you would agree that Harrison Barnes does need to learn how to involve his teammates more.
Yes.
And that's definitely something he needs to do.
Right.
And then also, he passes up a lot of 3-point shots.
Yeah.
When the Mavericks,
that might be trust and confidence in his own.
The Mavericks last played the Clippers, when they won that game, that awesome game where
the home game,
I looked up the stats, and Mo Spates, who was on the Clippers, had attempted more threes than Harrison Barnes.
Repeat that?
Mo Spates, who is coming off the bench for the Clippers, had attempted more threes
oh, wow.
than Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes played every single game.
Right.
He's played like 700 more minutes than Most Bates, and Most Bates has taken more threes.
That's kind of shocking.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because you'd think that Harrison Barnes, he's always a, you know, shoot corner threes all the time with the Warriors, and, you know, it's just so weird that why do you think he's not taking as many threes as he was before?
I think it could be a number of things. I think it could be the system. It could be
he's taking less than three threes per game. And
yeah,
shooting like 35%, which isn't that great, but it's fairly average.
Yeah, I would assume that the role he's playing. I don't know if Carlisle wants him to. I'm not sure. I'm not saying I know, but I'm just thinking that maybe some options. It just could be the system.
And when you're playing with Yogi, Curry, Matthews, and Dirk, like all at the same time, most of the space that is open is the, you know, long twos,
right,
and the mid-range game, which is where he's thrived this year.
Right.
Last year, he averaged 3.2 threes per game, and he's averaging five more minutes per game and taking almost, you know, a half a three less per game, which is weird to me. That it literally the rate went down, not just the amount of attempts, but the rate that he's taking them.
Right.
And in the minutes.
Hmm.
So it's just, and I saw him as I was watching the game from last night. I saw him just, you know, pass up a wide open three. He's out there and he totally could have just put it up. And I think that's also something he needs to change. If he wants to be a number one option or a number two option, he needs to be able to, whenever he's open, whenever he's got space in front of him, he needs to take that three, because guys have to respect him from 3-point land. That is definitely something.
That I 100% agree there.
Definitely something that I think that they do a little bit. But, you know, shooting 35% from three and only taking, you know, about three per game is not really going to do it.
Right. No, I'm in complete agreement with you there.
And we're totally nitpicking at this point. This is just like he has been so good. He's averaging almost 20 points a game.
It's more of constructive criticism. It's not like we're being, you know, saying he's this or he needs to do that. It's just it's more of those things. It's like you know somebody's really good and you respect that, but you're just thinking of a number of ways you can also improve.
Exactly. And he's been awesome.
I think every Mavericks fan has to be excited about Harrison Barnes.
And he's only 24. He's going to be 20. He's going into his prime still. He's not even in
his prime. He's not there yet. And that's why I'm like, you know, I had asked earlier, was this his ceiling? I agree with you. It's not. I think he's going to get better. And the part where I agree with you on when talking about like Harden and stuff, I think he's going to learn to even get better because he's young. This was the first time that he's ever been in a role like this in the NBA,
he's
being
the number one
role.
Right now.
Yeah, and I think he's just going to learn and grow from that.
Yeah.
Which makes me excited for next season to even watch him even more.
Yeah, and then to add, you know, either a De'Aaron Fox or a Dennis Smith or a...
De'Aaron Fox was so awesome.
Frank Ntilikina or whoever.
How do you pronounce his last name? Ntilikina.
I think it's Ntilikina.
Yeah.
Somebody tweet us and tell us that we're wrong.
Right. How old is he? 18. You know what's scary? When I was listening to Ben and Skin, you know, they said who he could end up with.
What?
The Knicks.
There's
guy.
A lot of right now.
Poor
right,
guy.
The Tankathon mock draft, which it just literally ranks players and then puts the teams wherever the players end up, wherever they end up, and then the players stay the same. Have Malik Monk going to the Knicks.
I feel so bad for anyone who has to go to the Knicks.
Ntilikina, by the way, is 18 years old.
You know what's weird?
Going to be 19 by the start of the season next
year. I'm 7 years older than him. Like, I'm he's not even 20 yet, and I'm about to enter my mid to upper 20s.
When was the first time you realized you were older than an NBA player?
This
happened to me in Kyrie Irving's rookie year, where I realized that I was older than Kyrie.
You know, it
Irving.
Was probably around that time. I think mine was Anthony Davis. And I'm like, yeah, I'm older than him. Like, what? I actually.
You ever stood next to Anthony Davis?
No.
You just feel like a different species of human.
I bet.
He is just so tall and massive and long, and his arms are just like. And his arms are as big as my legs.
Right. No, the two people that I stood next to that I just felt like a child next to was Salim Edri the very first time I saw him.
He's so tall.
And I'm like, I'm just looking up
Holy
at
cow.
Him. And then the second was when I was standing next to LeBron James.
Yeah.
And he's just massively
just
bigger
big,
than me.
Yeah.
It's like, huh. I'm like, I'm really just like 5. I just act 25. That's all.
It's insane. You just feel like a different. I mean, Harrison Barnes is younger than me, and I stand next to Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, he's younger than me, too.
Feels like, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's
how
it's,
size makes a person feel like they're older than you.
Right, and then it really kind of got me, too. I guess when I mentioned, you know, Anthony Davis, like, I look at it now, like, you know, we brought up North Carolina and Gonzaga. They played the other night in National Championship.
Oh, yeah, congratulations to Harrison Barnes for his North Carolina.
That's very
Tar
true.
Heels,
yep, his Tar Heels getting the win. But I'm older than all of them. By like a number of years.
Like, your college days are over.
Yeah,
man.
It's like, and I graduated going on, it'll be 4 years this year. I graduated in 2013. And it's like, what? Like, stop.
Age is just a number, Taman.
I know, but.
It's just a number.
Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And one of my friends told me this. If Donald Trump gets reelected.
Who is exponentially older than us.
Yes, very much exponentially older than us. If Donald Trump
not
gets,
alternatively, he's actually.
Yeah, he's very old. If Donald Trump gets reelected as president of the United States, by the time he starts his second term, I'll be being about to be 30. I'm not cool with that. Like, I'll be in my 30s.
Our microphones aren't cool with that either.
No, they're not. And it's like. Like, Nick, 30.
30 is, man.
And I'm like, see, I still feel like I'm 20. I'm 25.
You still look 20, Taman Dor.
I know. I look 20, but like, and it's weird, too, because like the other day, I was buying beer at the store, and the guy asked me for my license, and I was like, how old do you think I am? He's like, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're like 16, 17. And I was like, well,
you're wrong. I appreciate that, but
you're literally a decade off. And he started laughing. He looked at my license and he was like, okay, you're good. He was like, I thought you were younger than me. I was like, well, thank you. I appreciate the young looks.
Call me in 30 years.
Yeah, right.
When you look like an old man.
Right.
Man, so we'll definitely be getting into the draft for sure. I'm looking at Tankathon every single day as right. The Mavericks rise up.
Continue to lose.
Into the lottery. Right now, it's looking like they're a game back. We're talking about the inverse standings now. We're a game back from... No, we're a half game back, actually, from Minnesota. We're a game and a half back from Sacramento. No, a full game back from Minnesota.
We have five games left, right?
Sacramento. Five games left? Yeah, five games left for the Mavericks.
Oh, it's so weird because
doesn't look like it's possible to get
this is the second time since I've been, what, in fifth or sixth grade that the Mavericks aren't making the playoffs?
Yeah, that's weird.
It's just weird.
We were looking at this this complete history of the NBA from 538 earlier, and it shows... Just an ELO rating, which if you guys go look at that, 538.com. It's the words 530 and 8. And go look at the Mavericks. And it's just insane to look at the last, you know, few years of the Mavericks, how consistently good they've been.
Yeah.
And
they were right up there with the Spurs.
Literally from 2000 to basically 2011, they were through 2011, so even that next season after the title, they were above average in ELO rating, which is ELO rating just takes a literal, aggregates a literal number from how many wins you have to how good your wins are. So if you're not favored in that game by whatever their metrics are, like the other day the Mavericks played the Spurs. If the Mavericks play the Spurs next, they're definitely not, you know, favored in that game. If the Mavericks would win that game, they're like, you know, 83%, you know, underdogs, basically. Right. If they were to win that game, they would get a ton of ELO points. And so it kind of works like that. And so it's just cool to look at, see how good the Mavericks have been with a line graph. You know, just like shows a line up and down. And you get to look at the, you know, the 1992 season, where it was literally the worst ever. The Mavericks were 4-57 at some point. Can you imagine? 4-57.
I remember as a kid.
That's insane to me.
And that you might look up their ELO rating between
that Bobcat season was the last time they were that.
Like bad. Think, look at between 95 and 2000. Like I remember the Mavs when I was really young, and they had like a starting lineup of like Hubert Davis, Michael Finley, Gary Trent, Sean Bradley. It was Cedric Ceballos.
In the 97 season, they had a 10-46 record at one point.
That's terrible.
That's worse than now. This is, everyone listening, if you are too young to remember those times for the Mavericks, this is not the worst Mavericks season they've had.
Yeah, don't feel bad, kids. It's been rough.
It has.
And here's the thing.
Worse.
I can say this as a Maverick fan. We got really spoiled.
Yeah.
Between 2000 and 2012. Like, we just were going to win 50, 60 games. We'll make the playoffs. We'll be good, yada, yada. And now it felt a little weird, but if you follow the Mavericks and you know the season and whatnot, you know that this is much of a rebuild. And they're doing it in a way where they can, you know, gain talent by also being respectful to Dirk. And we're fortunate that Dirk is really more of the more humble athletes that we've ever seen in sports, because some older players don't want to go through a rebuild.
Yeah.
They want to go win another championship. And quite frankly, if Dirk hadn't have won in 2011, I think he would have done that.
Really?
I think
he'd be gone?
Yeah. I don't think he would have stayed here.
Wow.
I think he would have always been loved and remembered here. But I think that – because, I mean, I think Maverick fans would have accepted that. I know when we had Chris Arnold from 105.3 The Fan on here a few times.
Shout out to Chris Arnold.
You know, we mentioned the fact that, you know, Mavericks fans were very hard on Dirk because Dirk couldn't win the big one. I think if he hadn't been able to win the big one here, it would have hurt a few Mavs fans or whatever. But I think a lot of Mavs fans still would have respected Dirk. But I think he would have wanted to leave in his golden years to win a ring, because you look at Dirk before 20 – I mean, even when he won the championship, he said, I finally have achieved my dream. He wanted to win a championship.
Yeah, that
badly.
Was huge.
And if the Mavericks had gone,
obviously,
yeah, if the Mavericks had gone rebuild mode as he's entering his golden years, he still has something left in the tank. I don't think he would have taken the Tony Romo route and just retired. I think he would have wanted to go somewhere else and win a championship.
Yeah, the Tony Romo comparison is so interesting, because what if Tony Romo's career looked like Dirk's, where he had actually like one of those years? Let's say it was 2014. Let's say the Dez catch happens.
Right.
Like the Dez catch that wasn't was.
Right.
And they went to the Super Bowl and they won the Super Bowl.
Tony Romo would be the most beloved man in Dallas.
Even like more than Dirk. It would have been Dirk's career like on steroids.
Yes. I as much as I love Dirk and Dirk is untouchable to me, Dallas is such a football town.
Yeah.
And Tony Romo would literally, if you win in Dallas, If you win in Dallas for the Dallas Cowboys, you are automatically in this Hall of Fame of greatness
amongst
every Dallas Cowboys fan.
That would have been insane.
Yeah,
but now we're looking at it it's a complete different parallel universe.
And even with Dirk, I mean, I think Dirk, he would be Pudge and Michael Young as much as
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we love him to death, no doubt, but the ring elevates you to a status of immortality.
I'm not a huge baseball guy, so were those guys ever the best, either at their position or the best in the MLB?
Pudge was. But yeah, you can make the argument that Pudge is probably a top two or three catcher of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, he was really that good. Michael Young was just awesome because, I mean, I was glad the Rangers made the World Series with him as he got older, but throughout most of the time he was here, he was really good on a really bad team.
Yeah.
And everyone knew it.
Yeah, he was just one of those guys that, you know, was putting up good stats on a bad team.
Yeah, and the Rangers were bad for so long, but Michael Young was always the guy to give us some respectability. Is that the word?
Yeah.
Yeah, respectability.
So let's talk about some of these young guys on the team that we don't usually talk about. Let's spend the last, you know, 10, 5 or so minutes talking about these guys. So Nico Bersino, last night, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. You know, pretty good game. Solid game for him. His first start, he hasn't really played too much on this Mavericks
first
team.
First start.
What?
I'm just laughing, first start.
Is this his first start?
I know, it's funny just because the Mavericks are clearly tanking. That's why it's his first start. If the Mavericks were one game out,
Brucino starts.
If the Mavericks were the 9 seed right now and one game out of the final spot, he would definitely not be starting.
I think that Brucino, the more I watch him play, the more I think he can be, and he's never going to be this good of a player, but he can be like a Manu Ginobili. Like, he can come off the bench, he can, you know, hit some shots, he can pass. You're giving me a weird look, but I just think that he can, you know, he can help in offense. Like, he makes really, really good reads. He was finding Nerlens Noel last night in ways that, you know, not a lot of people can, not a lot of people do. Not even Yogi. Like, Yogi doesn't even make passes like the way that Brucino does. So I think he can come in and kind of be that type of player, not that level, obviously, because Ginobili's just really, really good in his career. You're giving me this crazy look. Why can I not compare people to Spurs?
Well,
you just hate Manu Ginobili so
much. No. I'm going to compare this into the argument I got in yesterday.
Okay.
Okay, so yesterday, when Tony Romo retired.
Why can't I have nice things?
I made the statement that he's the Dan Marino of our time.
Oh, yeah. I saw you going
and
on it.
And everyone got mad at me for it. Well, anyway, I'm making that comparison because you automatically compared him to Matty Ginobili. And now I know you're not saying he's on that level or whatever. I know that's not what you're saying.
That type of player.
But Manny Ginobili is a future Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
Nico Rosiano will never, ever be a future Hall of Fame player. So even though I get what you're saying like he has a couple of plays that are Ginobili-like, but to mention Rosiano and Ginobili in the same sentence is absolutely ridiculous. You just can't do that. That is a slap in the face to Ginobili.
No, it's not. It's a big compliment to Ginobili because I'm saying that Ginobili is a type of player that I cannot look at any other player and think, oh, that is the type of player that he is. He's a unique player that I'm just using as a...
I'm listening.
I'm using him as a category.
Okay.
Jeez.
I'm only doing okay because when my good friend Charles Boyd at BGC Sports got into an interview with Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving's answer was just, okay.
What was his question?
His question was, you know, the Cavs are 7-8 in their last 15 games. What's wrong with the Cavs? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He used something along those lines. And Kyrie was like, well, what's wrong with the Cavs? And he was like, and Charles was like, well, you know, you tell me. He was like, you guys have been struggling, blah, blah, blah. And you guys are 7-8, blah, blah, blah. And all Kyrie said was, okay. That's all he did. That's all he said. He didn't have anything else to say. So I'm just going to use that answer on you and just say,
Cavs are not winning the finals. Cavs are in a bad spot right now.
Wrong.
What?
Wrong.
Well, I guess we're not talking about the young guys anymore. Okay,
you're 100% wrong.
Let's talk about this. The Cavs are. You're saying the Cavs are winning the championship.
I didn't say they're winning the championship. I don't know if they're winning the championship, but they're going to the finals.
I said they're not going to win the finals.
Okay. Do you have them in the finals?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think.
All right. Well,
none of these other teams have enough experience. The Raptors have the most experience.
I don't know if they're going to win the championship, but I would not be surprised in the lightest if they win the championship.
Their defense is just so bad, and this is just a stretch that, man.
Let me tell you,
Tristan Thompson's out for two games with a thumb injury.
Yeah. Let me tell you one thing.
Oh my gosh.
This is something my grandfather told me, and my grandfather tends to be right on like everything.
Grandpa Turner or Grandpa?
Grandpa Calhoun. That's my mom's maiden name.
Grandpa Calhoun.
We call him Dan Dan, by the way. Shout out to my Dan Dan. He told me years and years ago, never doubt the defending champs. Cleveland's the defending champions of the NBA. They have the best player in the world on their team. They've gone to the best player has gone to six straight NBA finals. As he quoted today or yesterday in an interview, he said, I've gone to six straight finals. Don't doubt LeBron. And we all know LeBron's going to play different come playoff time. We all know Kyrie's going to play different come playoff time.
It's the rest of the guys.
That's true. But I believe that like last year, the other guys will thrive off of the great play of LeBron and Kyrie.
When the Cavaliers needed to get a stop last year,
right,
they had at least, and this is how good LeBron is, that when they needed to get a stop, they had Dellavedova who could get him a stop. They had Mozgov who could come in and get him a stop.
I hate it, Mozgov, but go ahead.
They had, at least, Iman Shumpert. And that's all he needed. That's all LeBron needed to get a stop. Now he doesn't even have anybody that's even those guys level. I mean, all the guys on his team are not defensive.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you have going to the finals in the West?
I mean, it's got to be the Warriors right now. I mean, 538 has them like a 90% chance to get to the finals.
I know you are. You might get mad at me when I get ready to say this.
Oh, don't say the Thunder. If you say the Thunder,
I don't even think the Thunder are going to make it out the first round. To be honest with you,
that Thunder Rockets series, I'm looking forward to.
I would love that.
It's going to be great.
But
it's going to happen.
But let me say this. Golden, I don't trust Kevin Durant to win a championship. He hasn't proven anything to me.
Your hatred of Durant is just...
No, it's the truth. The guy hasn't done jack squat in the playoffs.
He's been to the finals.
And didn't win.
He still went to the finals.
Dirk went to the finals in 06, and what did he get criticized for? Not winning.
And then you still believed in him. So you're just an irrational fan.
No. Let me tell you something. Last year, Game 6, Thunder Warriors at home, Kevin Durant, 2-for-10, 4 turnovers in the fourth quarter.
The problem with that logic, as asinine as it is.
No, it's not.
Is that
Kevin Durant's not a leader. He's a follower.
Sure, but you are on a team that has already done it.
Fair enough.
He's getting into the Harrison Barnes role in that team, and he's completely overqualified for it. They're not going to need to rely on Durant.
But you know it's going to be Durant's
kryptonite?
They've
played their best basketball this season without Durant.
You know what's going to be Durant's kryptonite?
What?
LeBron James. LeBron James.
But then you also have. Don't give me that look. That looks so creepy.
LeBron James.
I'm looking the other way. You also have. Okay, if Durant has a 2-for-10 night like he did, you know, in that finals or that whatever. You also have.
No. That's not whatever. That's game 6, closeout game. You're up 3-2 at home, fourth quarter, 2-for-10 at home, 4 turnovers. Your best player. That is shrinking smaller than little me.
What are the
odds? Stephen A. Smith.
What are the odds that you love Stephen A. Smith so much?
Not really. On the inside, he drives me crazy because the way he talks about certain topics.
What are the odds that Durant and Curry have a game like that?
Well, I'll tell you this: Stephen Curry has not played well against the Cavs in 2 NBA Finals. Not at all. He has not played well against the Cavaliers in the Finals in 2 Finals, and you know that's true.
Yeah, that's pretty true. But now he has Durant that they're going to be.
Durant's kryptonite is.
And then you also have Klay
Thompson. Who's his kryptonite?
It's LeBron, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You have just the creepiest look on your face. I'm turning the other way. This is the creepiest I've ever seen you in my entire life.
I'm sorry. Kevin Durant has to prove it. If he proves it to me, I will be the first person to shut up. But he hasn't done anything.
Okay, but he's on a team that has done everything. They've done it. They've won 67 games the last 3 seasons.
You just asked me about Stephen Curry and LeBron James. Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And Stephen Curry has struggled against the Cavs in the finals, and Kevin Durant has not proven to me that he can come up in big moments.
So then you have Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's going to
– Klay Thompson's a good player.
He's going to hit everything.
I like Klay Thompson. But you also have Kyrie Irving in Cleveland.
Sure.
Who is going to show up. Now, the only person in Cleveland
Keep going.
The thing is, I have been very hard on Kevin Durant. You know, there was a time where I think Kevin Durant is a phenomenal basketball player. I think he's a
Sometimes I don't think you do.
Why?
Sometimes I don't think you think
Durant's
a good player.
I think he is a top 2 or 3 player in the NBA. I liked him when he was at Texas. But with that said, I'm giving Kevin Durant the LeBron treatment.
Opposite of the benefit of the
team. Hold on. I'm giving Kevin Durant the LeBron treatment, the Dirk treatment, and football, the Tony Romo treatment. What have you done in the playoffs? LeBron James, before he won a championship, got crucified for not winning a championship. Dirk Nowitzki, particularly in Dallas, got crucified after they lost the NBA Finals and losing the first round after they won 67 games. Why do we protect Kevin Durant so much? It's like he's banned from criticism.
Whoa.
He was in Oklahoma City.
We do not protect Kevin Durant.
Yes, we
do. Kevin Durant has been destroyed for going to Golden State. Destroyed.
Deservingly so.
So why are you saying it hasn't happened?
I'm saying that's totally different. I'm talking about his playoff success. Why don't we criticize him? When he was with Oklahoma City, when we were with Oklahoma City, this is what we would
do. #we the media has been killing him.
Well, when he was in Oklahoma City, this is what we would do. When Oklahoma City wins, we give Durant the credit. When Oklahoma City loses, we blame Westbrook.
These blanket statements are just
it's so true.
The absolute worst. You can't just
true.
Throw a blanket statement.
Blanket about what I just said?
That you're like, oh, it's only this and only this. So whenever the Thunder succeed, Durant gets all the credit.
The perception was when Oklahoma City would win games, Durant would get the credit. But when they would lose games, they would blame Westbrook. Remember, we all thought that Durant was going to be the one to stay in OKC and Westbrook was going to be the one to leave. Because we were questioning Westbrook's leadership, his loyalty, when it was actually the exact opposite.
I just think nobody knew how Westbrook thought at all. So they were like, he could be like completely wanting to leave or he could be.
Nobody thought Durant was going to leave.
Sure. Okay. I don't know what you're trying to prove right now.
My point is, Durant has not. I'm not saying he isn't, but he has not proven to be a leader when it matters most. If he has, then prove to me when.
Cool.
I'm asking you a question. Cool. When has he proved to be a leader?
Cool story. He's on a team now that has leaders, that has a leadership in place, that has a coach that has been to the finals, that has teammates that have been to the finals,
but
that have been
through
it.
If he plays in the finals, assumingly against Cleveland.
I can't believe we're arguing about this. This is the stupidest thing we've
ever
argued
about. No, it's definitely
not.
If he plays in the finals, assuming it's against Cleveland,
okay.
You're playing the exact same team as you. Playoff experience, finals experience, guys who know when to show up, a.k.a. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. The difference is Golden State, they're going to need Kevin Durant to show up in the finals at some point. They can't just have him do nothing. They can't have him shoot 2-for-10 and have 4 turnovers in the fourth quarter of a closeout game at home. That can't happen if Kevin Durant is on that basketball team.
God, I'm rolling my eyes because this is...
You can roll, but I'm just being real with you.
Because they only need him to show up for one game. That's probably it. They got other guys. He's not going to be asked to do as much as he would have been in Oklahoma City, and that's why he's with the Warriors now. He's not going to be asked to do as much. If Durant doesn't show up, another player can step up for him. That's all I'm saying. And it makes no sense that you're disagreeing with this completely. You're saying that Durant can't have one good game in the finals against LeBron.
I didn't say that. He can have a good game.
Okay.
I'm not saying he can't have
and
a good game.
Curry can have a good game.
He could.
And Durant and Clay could have a good game.
He could.
And Draymond Green
could
have a good game.
Yeah, but that's not
that's
my point.
That's
not,
all you need, four.
That's not my point. No, listen.
He's not asked to do as much on this team.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. But I'm talking about in a close game.
Sure.
In a close game.
You could either give the ball to Durant or Curry. Whoever's hot at the time, you
when
give
has
the
Curry
ball.
Played well against the Cavs in the finals?
He has had certain games where he's played well. Did
he have a good series? In the last two NBA Finals, did he have a good series?
But with Durant,
no.
With Durant now, he doesn't have to have a good series.
With Durant,
series.
Who's going to be guarding Durant?
A couple good
who's
going to
be guarding Durant?
Oh, my gosh. This is the dumbest.
LeBron James.
Oh, my gosh.
LeBron James.
I'm almost legitimately mad at you right now.
That's fine.
You're just being very annoying right now.
No, because I'm sick. I'm literally sick of nobody criticizing Kevin Durant.
Everyone in the world
no,
is kidding.
They criticized
him
for
leaving. I'm not
criticizing
Kevin Durant, but the media has been.
They criticized him for leaving. They protect him over his playoff failures. What has he done in the playoffs? He's a top 2-3 player in this league. He's been in the league, 9 years? Has no championships. Dirk Nowitzki got crucified for being in the league 9 years for not winning a championship. Kevin Durant is protected and coddled.
Some of that is because they've had injuries. He was injured in the final. And he's injured in the playoffs 1 year. Westbrook was injured in the playoffs 1 year. I mean, he hasn't had all the chance in the world to get there.
I know he did last year.
Yeah, and he played really well. They went to 7 games with a team that won 73
but
games.
When did he play
that
well?
Was,
when they needed him to play well. Game 6. At home, fourth quarter, 2-for-10, 4 turnovers. If LeBron James had did that, you know doggone well he would have been crucified for it.
Okay, fine. You're right, I guess. Whatever. I mean, you're right about that he didn't play well. I'm also saying...
But play well when you need him to play well.
Sure,
the most. All right.
Kevin Durant is a terrible player.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I didn't say that. He's a great player.
All right. Well, this has been the Mavs Fanatic Podcast. Somehow, this has been Mavs Fanatic Podcast. We got off on a tangent, of course. And we ended up talking about how Durant is just the worst player in the NBA. And that was me talking just now.
Yeah, that was weird.
I heard myself. It was some sort of meta experience that I was having.
Yeah, that was odd because I don't see our...
So we'll bring you more Mavericks talk at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And as the season ends, and of course, we'll be diving into draft stuff. We'll be going straight into it. We haven't done it yet because the season is not over, and we want to know what spot we're going to be in or what potential spots. So whatever we land, that's where we're going to start doing a lot of research about that. We'll bring more people on. It'll be great. I'm excited for the summer, excited for possibilities. This will be finally an interesting Maverick summer. They've had so many uninteresting summers, and we'll be watching the playoffs, and we'll be watching Kevin Durant when they win the finals. He has nothing to say.
I lied. That's why I said nothing. That was And listen, I won't be shocked if Golden State wins the final.
Yeah, you shouldn't be.
I'm not.
So I don't know why you're so adamant about this because it's not.
Because that's not what we're arguing.
Okay.
In the show because let's just end. I'm right. Nick's wrong.
Okay.
That's the end of the story.
That's it.
It always is.
Sure.
I'm mad at you.
I've just been.
I'm mad at you.
I feel like I've been the voice of reason and you've been irrationally upset at me.
No, I just proved me wrong. Prove me wrong, KD.
See you guys.